This is Ozarks at Large. For many musicians, the COVID-19 pandemic brought their concert schedule to a screeching halt. Some have adapted by hosting virtual performances. Emmy-nominated composer and installation artist Amos Cochran is adapting by setting a goal to produce 7 new works by the end of the year. The first, Niente, is being released digitally today. Earlier this week, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda spoke with Amos via Zoom to learn more about the new albums. He says the decision to work on several projects this year wasn't really a conscious one.
This year for me was going to be about getting outside of Arkansas and traveling around the region to do more work on sort of an art installation level and a performance level. I had stuff set up in South Carolina and in Houston and Kansas City and a lot of different places. And I was really excited about that because I've always just been here. And then all of a sudden I couldn't go anywhere. So like the total opposite was presented to me, which is, guess what? You get to just stay right where you've been. So I had planned to put this album out. And then there's the Artist 360 grant that I received. There's an album that will come out with that. And then I started just thinking about a bunch of back music that I recorded a long time ago. A lot of film scores that I have sort of on the back pocket. And these are all things I've wanted to get on the shelf. Like I knew over time I would release these. But if I'm just going to be at home and sort of cooped up, why not make this year about getting all of that stuff on the shelf? And so I just kind of made a list of all the things that are, they're about 75% done. So it's not like I'm starting from scratch and releasing 7 or however many I release. They're sort of just ready to go. They just need a little bit of attention. And so I thought, why not do that now? And so maybe in the years to come, when I can spread out regionally and do things outside of the state, all that stuff is just there and it's ready to go. And I also think there's the idea of sort of clearing your mind with the ideas that you've had. I think you sort of build up this creative debt of things you want to do and you don't do them. So all you do is dwell on those things and then you don't have room for new ideas. So I think if I can over this year get all of those releases done and out into the world, then it'll be great. I won't have to think about them anymore. And I can start to work on new things. So that's sort of where this idea has come from.
So the result of this first project is an album called Niente, Italian word. What were you trying to convey with that name?
Sure. So I was working, my friend Josh Floyd was doing some shows with me about a year ago or so. And we were just talking about my music and we were talking about the way the strings work. And, you know, I don't have really any formal training. Everything I've done has been sort of self-taught. I can't even read music that well. I've learned how to write it, though, at least the notes on the page. And he said, a lot of this notation should have niente written on it. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, it means to sort of come out of silence or disappear into silence. And I just was like, it was perfect. I loved it. I was like, that's exactly it. That's the notation I have been after. It's like, how do you start from absolutely nothing and then build into a much larger thing and then disappear back into nothing? Which I think the individual parts I write do that. But then also too, if you look at the songs as a whole, they sort of do that same thing, starting very quiet with these very kind of large emotional builds back into very quiet. So that term has always stuck with me. And then when this album came about and I decided to sort of do these tunes, it just made sense. I thought I'll call it Niente. And I was really worried people wouldn't know how to pronounce it. And so then I was going to call it From Silence for a while. I thought that would be a cool name too. But then I was like, you know what? I want to call it Niente because that's kind of, that term was when my friend Josh said that. That term really stuck with me.
So that is its name. And the album is full of piano and cello and violin. Did you have any artists join you while you were recording at Soul Studios in Fort Smith?
Yeah. So for the last year or so, I have been playing live with the violin player Miranda Baker Burns and cello player Christian Serrano Torres. And they came down to Fort Smith and we had a massive recording day where we recorded all the strings in one day and it was nuts. But we did it and they were great sports about it. And they're just wonderful players. They have really helped me grow in a way that I didn't know that I really could. Because again, I don't have any formal training. So handing people sheet music, I sort of feel like I've always felt like I'm sort of sneaking in the back door with this kind of music because I don't really It's not really my bag. I grew up playing bass in, you know, jam bands. So yeah, those two came down with me and have really, I don't know what my music would sound like without them. It's kind of weird to think. And I have, Miranda's actually moving. So I am losing that very important voice. But what I've learned from her is great. And I'll be able to find new people and express the same ideas with them, I'm sure.
Can we talk about one of the songs? Can we talk a little bit about Unscored?
Sure. So Unscored is actually a tune that's on the first album that I released. And that album is actually called Unscored. And I'm a big fan of observation of work and then changing work. I think that's something that I didn't set out to do, but in a lot of the work that I do with installations and with music, I'm constantly like saying this is the version of it and then observing it and observing how people respond to it and then changing it. Not necessarily based on how they respond to it, but just sort of in a, as a, you know, constant evolution. And so Unscored is one of the tunes that I liked it. Like it always sort of stuck with me. It had a nice little melody. The other version of it is a, it's a different kind of version. It's the same tune, but it's very, if you put them side by side, you'd go, oh, cool, that's the same song, but they're totally different versions. And I don't know, it's pretty simple. Like it does the same chord progression for the most part, the entire song. And I don't know, I liked how the strings were arranged for it. I liked giving Christian a little bit of a solo at the beginning of it. And then when the violin sort of sneaks in, you almost don't even notice it. But then all of a sudden, it's this big, huge build to this final melody. No, it's just, it feels really good to play that song. When we played it, we did a live session in the studio. I don't know, I guess a month or so ago. When we were rehearsing, we got done with that song and Christian and Miranda, they were like, that's our favorite song. Like, we really like that song. So it's a fun one. And I don't know, it's just one that's always, I think it's going to always be in the canon. It's pretty, it's, I don't know, I think everything in it's pretty understated, but it continues to build and build and build. And then all of a sudden it's saying something. And I kind of like that because it actually, it starts out with this, if you listen to it, it starts out with these kind of metallic sounds, just going the sound textures that sort of sound like ice skating or something. And so you kind of get whisked away into a different little land. And then it's just this nice, I don't know, it's a nice little thing that builds. And then by the end of it, it's almost like you question whether or not all of that just happened because it just ends with us sort of improvising a little bit on the last chord.
Another song on the album that's had a couple different lives is Trapeze. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of that one?
Sure. So Trapeze was originally written, I think, in 2009-ish for an original play that was done at the UVA Fort Smith. And that was the closing song of the play. All the actors were like hanging on to this trapeze thing that went up into the top of the theater. And it was a very different version. There was none of the string melody was there at all. It was just the piano. And it was really just the simple version of the piano. None of the actual melody was in that version. But I liked it. I liked again, the idea of taking a simple idea because it really just does the same thing in a lot of different ways. It takes, I guess there's one, two, the four chords. And it's like, how many different ways can you mess with those chords? And then when Miranda and I were going to play the first time, I played it for her and she said, I like it. Can you write something for me to play? So I did. Like in that next week, I wrote the melody and I loved it. And we closed the show with it. And it's just kind of been a tune that people really, really respond to. I also like it because it's very bare. There's no sound textures to hide behind. There's no parts where we're sort of improvising. It's very much what it is, which is just very bare piano and very bare string. And I had a version that had cello too, but I've really kind of settled on the piano and violin version. I feel like that speaks the best to the tune. We have done it a couple of different times. We at Theater Squared for the Black Apple Awards. I collaborated with Blake Worthy, the dancer. And so there's a version that Blake dances to. And we ended up then doing that at Crystal Bridges for the opening night of the Looking for America exhibition. And I just kind of, and then there's the solo piano version of it where I have taken the violin melody and arranged it to where I play it just with the solo piece. And that actually closes the album. And it's just fun. I don't know. It feels good. It's one of those tunes. It's like that. It's sort of like a, where did that come from? Sort of thing. Like it feels like it's always been there. And I guess because it evolved over so many years. It's neat. I like it. I like how it's ended up evolving. It's evolved more than all of these other ones. I think it's had time to sort of evolve. A lot of my tunes, the way I work them with the strings, especially, I procrastinate until the very last minute. And then I'll write the strings like the night before we record. Like Gideon's Lullaby, actually, which we don't have to get into. I wrote those strings like at midnight the night before we recorded. And I love that, like, you have no time to question what's going on. It's like you have to move down the line and make the decision. That's how most of my tunes come about. But with Trapeze, it didn't. It was almost just like I just opened the door and there it was. Somebody handed it to me. They're like, here you go, bye. And I like that. I like that about it.
Before we officially started our interview, we were chatting a little bit about the value of listening to an album all the way through as opposed to just a single. If someone were to sit down and listen to this album from start to finish, what is the journey that you're trying to take them on?
You know, I don't think that that's really up to me. I think it's more up. I think the journey is going to come from you. And I think it's going to come from your thoughts and your feelings. I think I just kind of have presented a bit of an arc for you to kind of go enjoy your thoughts for a while. Because the way this album came about was really not, you know, I teamed up with the guys at Soul Studios and we got together and we're just going to record some songs. Like the idea was not to go in and make the album necessarily. It was like, let's just record some stuff. And after a while it became obvious. It's like, wow, we actually have something cool here. Like, I like this. Like, I think the original idea for the album, like, had a Radiohead cover on it and had another cover on it and just some different things. So like, I didn't go in with like a specific idea that the album was going to do this kind of thing. Like, I see it as a nice little sort of photo book of, it's like a little snapshot of stuff I have been doing. So I don't think this one has a lot of the stuff that I have does have kind of a more thought out conceptual journey to it. I think some stuff I'm going to release later this year, some of the installation work that I've done, that has that. But this is almost more like little individual things that I felt fit really nice together. And I think anything someone gets from it as a whole is just a really nice bonus.
Speaking of those upcoming projects, have you mapped out what you'd like to do next?
I have a very rough schedule that involves something in June. It's not every month, but close to that. I think I have something I want to put out in June. I have something I want to put out in August and October. And then I think the other stuff will just kind of fall in between those. That's kind of the idea right now. One of those is a single. One of those is there's two albums and then some film scores. And I think one thing, I've been looking back at my film score catalog because I have so much film score music at this point. It's kind of hilarious because that's what I've done for so long. And I think I may release like a sort of a collection of film score music, like not as a, nothing new. Again, it's just like stuff that, because for a while I was scoring a lot of music at the Little Rock Film Festival. There was a time where I guess 3 or 4 years in a row, I had multiple films in that. And just, I have a bunch of music from that. And I couldn't release them on their own as like standalone album, like scores, because they weren't long enough really. But I thought, my gosh, I could put out like a film scores volume one collection. So I'm starting to kind of dig through the back catalog. And again, this is something I've wanted to do for many, many years. And now seems like a great time to do it.
Is there anything else we should know?
You know, I would really like to just talk a second about the Soul Studios and what they're doing down in Fort Smith, because I think it's an amazing facility. I've been to a couple of studios around the state, and there are very few that even come close to what they're offering down there. Grant Thomas, the studio manager, and Anton Rasmussen, the head engineer, they're just fabulous people. And what they're offering on a sound quality level is really beyond what I ever sort of thought would be down in the Fort Smith area. Because I'm used to, that's actually, and this is the first time I've recorded something in an actual studio. I've always done everything from home. And so the process of starting the ideas at home, recording them in the studio, mixing them in the studio. And then also too, I'd love to note that Taylor Dupree mastered the record. And He is a sound artist, experimental music. He runs a record label called 12K in New York, and he does mastering. And if there were one person literally in the whole world I would want to master my music, it's always been him. And so I reached out to him and he took on the project. And it was kind of amazing to get to be on the line with somebody that I admired so much, and plan to continue to work with him in the future on most anything I release that I can. So it's been really cool to do the whole process because I've always just done it all at home. But to involve other people and expand the team, I think it's one of the most important things that anybody can do as an artist or as a creator of any kind, because I think you hit a point, I think you need to work on your own for a long time. And then you realize, wow, this can be so much better if I'm able to expand the team a little bit and take the time to let other people have their touch on it. And that's been the biggest thing I've learned from this record, and that hopefully I will continue to be able to do on in the future.
Well, congratulations on the new project, and thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Emmy-nominated composer and installation artist Amos Cochran spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda via Zoom earlier this week. His new album, Niente, available digitally today. Physical release forthcoming. More at amoscochran.com.